Welcome to Western New York at Work with Dale Martin and Lauren Lewis. Join in the conversation about sports, jobs, economic development, and the people who make it all happen. If you're interested in growing your business, understanding the latest trends in and around Western New York, then join the discussion at 803-1520. Now, here's Dale Martin and Lauren Lewis.
Good morning, Buffalo. Welcome to Western New York at Work, your business-friendly conversation live here at ESPN 1520 AM, where we talk about sports, jobs, economic development, and always the people that make it happen. It's a beautiful Sunday morning, and I want to talk a little bit about that. Not only is it a beautiful Sunday morning today, it's been great weather for the last week or more. We've been having Florida-like weather, just unbelievable. Buffalo has some beautiful summers, and you know what? We just wanted to continue. It's very calm, probably in the high 70s, mid-80s, just the way we like it. And we have a great conversation in store for you today. In fact, we're going to revisit a previous conversation in which Lauren had with Judge Craig Hanna and Frank Letempio III. Today is a different version of Legal Matters, but just the same, it's a great conversation. We'd also like to say thank you to our new sponsor, Colden Market and Cafe. Colden Market and Cafe provides pizzas, wings, great breakfast, a full lunch, and we're happy that they are part of the Western New York at Work family. Again, that's the Colden Market and Cafe, and we're going to be talking more and more about them as the show progresses. But without further ado, just like to say good morning to Derek, if Derek can hear me this morning.
I got you to hear, Dale. What's going on, man?
Derek, always a pleasure to work with you. It's been a while, buddy. How's things been for you?
Well, I've been pulling a little bit of double duty. As a matter of fact, over on WGR, I was just part of Sports Talk Sunday there with Brayton Wilson. And and as a matter of fact, it's just been a nice little whirlwind. It's been fun, exciting, everything of the sort. And you know what? It's kind of fun to also be back here, Dale, for the
a man of many talents. You're always busy. With that being said, we're going to go right into the show. Again, this is a previous conversation that Lauren had with Judge Craig Hanna and Frank Letempio III, a new version of Legal Matters.
Good morning, Western New York, and welcome to Western New York at Work on ESPN 1520 AM, where we talk about sports, jobs, economic development, and the people that make it happen. And this morning, as always, the second Sunday of the month, we have Frank Letempio from Letempio PC Law Firm for Legal Matters.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, Frank. How are you?
Nothing. I'm excited. I love this doing. You know, every second Sunday of the month, I love looking forward to this.
Oh, I'm glad. So. We love having you. You're always a great guest, and it's always a fun show when you're on. We never lack things to talk about.
No question. No question about that. With us today, if I can introduce.
Absolutely. Please do.
Judge Craig Hanna is with us today. Hanna is a Buffalo City Court judge, currently running opiate, the first one in the country, right?
That's correct.
I can tell you from personal experience, I practice a lot in city court, and Judge Hanna is truly one of the nicest judges to be in front of. He is mild-mannered. He's tough when he has to be tough, but he is always reasonable. I will never, and you know, one thing that lawyers always look for is one thing that we don't want the judge to do is ever embarrass us as lawyers. And Judge Hanna is a lawyer's judge. He's spectacular. You know what? It's funny. I never get nervous going in front of you. I don't. There's some judges that you're literally scared. Like, you're like, oh, God, I got to go get my teeth kicked in today.
Oh, no.
But, you know, walking in his court, he understands what it's like to be a lawyer, and it's an absolute pleasure. So,
awesome. Well, thank you, Frank, and thank you guys for having me today.
Yeah, thank you, Judge. We're excited to have you on.
No, I'm serious. It's so important for a lawyer to know, you know, when someone comes into my office and they say, oh, you know, I got arrested on this or this, who are you in front of? Did they do an arraignment? Who are you in front of? I'm in front of Judge Hanna. Okay. There's a lot of different options. He will listen to many different options, whatever you have, if it's a bad case, if it's a good case, you know, it's, and of course, you know the law very well, too, which is huge for a lawyer, but sometimes, especially in city court, it's not always about the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about, you know, you're trying.
making sure people come out of there better than when they first came in.
Yeah, no question. There's no question. And it's this opiate court is, which we'll talk about in a little bit, is fantastic.
Yeah, so. I was redoing a little bit of research yesterday on the opiate court, and I read an article. It was on NPR, and it was a really nice exchange that it featured between you and one of someone who was appearing in front of you.
Yes, we try to treat it as family, kind of like what Frank alluded to. Like, none of us are perfect, and we all make mistakes. And the whole idea when people come to court, you want to make sure they come out of there as unscathed as possible.
Yeah. And it's got to be very nerve-wracking for people, and you don't want to feel ashamed, but at the same time, you've made some mistakes, and you're there for a reason. And so how do we get past it? How do we learn from this and become a better person?
Well, that's right.
And it's a I know, we might as well just go right into it. I know... because we do have to talk sports at some point.
Yeah, we have to get our sports update in.
One of the things is, but it's got to be tough because opiates, from what I understand, are a totally different concept than alcohol, than marijuana, than even cocaine. I mean, it's a next level kind of thing, right? I mean,
yes. Just to give you a brief scale, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most pleasurable experience you have in your life, 2. I don't know, the Yankees winning the World Series. five, the Bills going to playoffs or the birth of a newborn baby.
Right.
10 being the most pleasurable experience you ever had in your life. Your first shot of dope is a 5,000.
Wow.
Yes. Really?
It is 5,000 times better than anything you ever experienced in your life. So that's why it's so addictive. It is so powerful. It is so addictive. And it has people just cringing just to go back to it.
That's scary to me. Yes. Something... that a substance can give you that kind of
That's
pleasure
before,
and enjoyment,
yeah.
Like, and can become that addicting. Like, that's terrifying to me.
But the worst part about it, because you destroyed those pleasure receptors, you'll never feel that way again.
Mm-hmm.
So they're always chasing that high and trying not to be sick.
Well, you know what's funny? There was a cartoon on Facebook, some social media site, and it talked about drugs, like, this is drugs. And it was like a bird who goes up to, I got to find it for you. It's a bird that goes up to a yellow dot, and it's drugs. And the bird kind of eats it and goes on this incredible high, right? And then flies, and then lands, and then has to go find the next yellow dot, right? And finds the next yellow dot and takes it quicker than he did the first time. Flies, but doesn't land so well the second time. And it goes on and on and on until when he lands after the fourth or fifth time of taking that drugs. Just a mess, right? I mean, and that's what you're talking about, right?
Right. It's them always trying, like you said, to reach that first level, and they're never going to reach it. But the part about it that is so troubling is that they don't have the resources. And I always say people don't catch buses to commit crimes.
Yeah, right.
So they start preying on their friends and family members. So once in their time of need, they burned all their bridges.
Right.
So now we have to try to relink them to their friends and family and their community members once we get them stable. Because after a while, if you keep beg, borrow, and stealing from all your family members, some point around, they kind of cut you off.
Yeah.
So it's very hard. It's very troubling. But as you said before, I look at it, and I guess it's Sunday, so I might as well say it, that I always thought judgment was supposed to be for the Lord.
Right, right.
So when I come in here, and since I'm only playing judge,
right,
I just try to treat people the way I want to be treated. And I know that people come from all walks of life, and it's our responsibility to look out for people that are less fortunate than us and try to make sure when they're in there that they have it's not going to be a pleasurable experience because it is court. But at least they'll come out of there as unscathed as possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting about this too is this addiction is it scans social classes, racial classes, right? I mean, because there's a lot of people who are getting, you know, you're talking about it's not your stereotypical young black male. It's affects, you know, young white guys in Amherst, young white girls in Amherst. It because you know what? It's everywhere. And it's affecting normal, people that have a job that get into a bad car accident, that doctor prescribes codeine, then whatever, then Oxycontin, and then it rolls from there, right? I mean, look at Brett Favre. Look at all these guys.
You're right.
Right?
That's the thing about it. I know that it cuts all branches of society, so maybe that's why we're getting a lot more attention to it. But it's good that we're getting attention to it.
It's still awful, though, to think about that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but what the thing we really need to educate people, and I know you alluded to it earlier, is that we got to get the shame and the stigma away from people asking for help.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the crisis came from. Individuals thinking they can do it on their own because they're afraid to reach out and tell people that they're an addict. And that if you get the help that you need, then you can live a productive life, as you was alluding to earlier, Frank.
Are there a lot of mental health issues associated with the opiate addiction? I mean, I know when you're talking about just regular drugs, alcohol, marijuana, people self-medicate with those things, especially because they have mental health issues. But is the opiate addiction, are they combined? I mean,
in most addiction, there's always a cross-diagnosis.
Right, cross. That's what
I'm glad you brought that up, too. But the point I want to move back to, a lot of this addiction came from people going to their doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of us just listen to our doctors on blind faith.
Absolutely.
And they went there, as you said, back injury, you know, car accident, you know. They got pills. All they had to do was keep asking, and they kept getting more and more pills.
Yeah.
And once they got addicted to it and we started that prescription stop where you can't get pills, the prescriptions got cut off.
Yeah.
And then the closest alternative was heroin.
Right.
Well, put a lot of people in a bad place, too, when they kind of really restricted getting your prescription medications because people are taking all other measures to try and get it. It put the doctors in a really tough spot, too. It's been like
the doctors also got a lot of information from the drug companies.
Misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that OxyContin, they knew. If you've read any articles, which I'm sure you've read much more than I have, but if you're, I forget the family that really invented OxyContin, that they knew it was addictive from the get-go, and they hid those studies. And, look at what it's done. It's created an epidemic.
Yeah.
You guys both hit the nail on the head. I don't like to point fingers because I just try to look for solutions.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You had pharmaceutical companies marketing something that they knew was addictive as a non-addictive pain substitute. And the pain medicine. And they went everywhere. They flooded medical offices.
Right.
And obviously your doctor's main goal is to do no harm and to treat their patients. If they thought something was a safe alternative, a painkiller, they prescribed it as they normally would.
Mm-hmm.
But come to find out, as we all know, that the pharmaceutical companies knew this was addictive.
Yeah, it's awful. It's funny, by the way, getting to a point, no one ever yells at their doctor. They always yell at their lawyer, though. Did you ever notice that? People trust their doctors with blind faith. And I'll tell somebody the other day, I was doing some research. Oh, you were? They're telling me what I should do in court. Oh, that's nice. Good for you.
That's a good point. I always use that as an analogy when someone doesn't want to listen to their lawyer. I said, when you go in your doctor's office, you try to tell him what to do. Everybody wants to be their own lawyer.
Everybody.
Well, I think with WebMD, though, there are a lot of self-diagnosis is going on now.
I think so, too.
With patients going to the office. I read this on the internet. I Googled my symptoms. There's a lot going on in sports.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Well, he is an Oakland Raiders fan, by the way.
How?
It's actually a little worse, but I won't say it.
You're not a Patriots fan, are you?
Oh,
when did that start?
Hannah.
When did that start?
I got to give you a quick story, and then we'll talk about Tyrod.
Okay.
When I was a little kid, the Patriots had this offensive lineman named John Hannah.
Okay.
And I used to see my name on television when I was like 5 or 6 years old. So my mother bought me this Patriots jersey, and I've been a closet Patriots fan.
Closet Patriots.
For the last
you better go back
40
in that.
Years.
You better go back in that closet. By the way,
I think yeah.
You better go back in that
not
closet.
Not everyone knows you are a Patriots fan.
There is first of all, you know Mark Whipperman, the undersheriff.
Yes.
Yeah, Mark's a terrific friend and a terrific guy, but for the fact that he is a Patriots fan, and I send him this. Someone was interviewed on the news one time, and they said, well, you know, how do you feel about this? He said, you know, if you're from Buffalo and you cheer for the Patriots, you don't trust that person at all. I always send it to him every time I can. So obviously you like cheaters then. Is that why you became a judge?
No. The reason why I like the Patriots is that they take people for where they are. They can be washed up or forgiven by other teams. They put them in there where they can be effective. And give him a second chance.
I agree. Do you think it's Tom Brady or do you think it's Bill Belichick?
I think it's probably 80% Belichick, 20% Brady. Right. I think Belichick has just got a great football mind.
Well, I do. Well, that's when he cheats, though. You know that, right? I mean, he films other teams, right?
Well, they call that cheating now. But at the time, I don't think it was illegal. They made a rule against it now. So,
so what do you think about Tyrod?
I think Tyrod is a phenomenal athlete. I just think he didn't fit the system here.
He is a phenomenal athlete.
You don't
There's
have
no
to
question.
Be a tall
He's like a good stand-up guy, too. Mm-hmm. Like,
no, he
pretty, like, low-key, did his thing, did it, you know,
I definitely,
hard.
Well, apparently he's a very, you know, he's a pretty pious guy. He's into his faith, he seems like a very respectable guy. I never actually had the opportunity to meet with him, but he was just, I don't think he, not only didn't he fit the system, but there are times that he has this cannon of an arm and just, you know, what drove me nuts was him being so conservative. You know, I would have rather had some interceptions and just fire that ball into a spot to just see. I mean, look at those two games. I was not offended when they put Nate Peterman in. Though two games before, he threw for 65 yards each game. That's you can't do that, right?
Not as an NFL quarterback.
That's not an NFL quarterback, right? I mean, and we were in those games too. Into the second half, we were in those games, and so I was never a huge fan. I always cheered for him, but I just I think it was time to move on. Don't you?
And not to mention the playoff game.
Oh my God!
We only scored what 9 points or something.
We if he plays halfway decent, that game's a blowout, I think. And I know they gave him the run pass option on that play, but you have Shady McCoy behind. I mean, you've got one of the greatest running backs of all time. Hand the ball, get in the end zone.
Use your talent.
Use your talent. Right? He throws it. And he threw an awful pass to Benjamin, by the way. Benjamin's 6'5". If you're going to throw it against one of the best cornerbacks in the league, he's not 6'5", that kid. You throw it up in the air, and that's it.
And he's the only person that can get it.
That's it.
And if he drops it, he drops it.
That's
it. But you put it where he can make a play on the ball.
Yes.
I think that was like the inconsistency with Tyrod.
Yes.
It was a very inconsistent game that he played. You kind of never knew what you were going to get week to week. So
no, you
quarter to quarter, week to week, you
didn't know what you were going to get. And I feel bad for the guy. I'm happy that, first of all, I don't feel that bad for him
because he's still making millions.
He's
right?
making a he's made a ton of money. I mean, right? I mean, this year he's scheduled for $18 million. I think 1 year of $18 million, right? So I was excited. I don't know what Cleveland's thinking though.
It's Cleveland. Like
I know what
did they win a game this past season?
No.
I didn't think so.
Third round draft pick though, you take that all day long for Tyrod, don't
definitely.
You?
Definitely.
I mean it's really Brandon Bean to pull that off not that I'm a huge Jerry Sullivan fan, but you know, he even said this is a huge coup for Brandon Bean. I mean, we've got six picks. So what do they do? Where do they go?
Well, we gotta get a quarterback.
Yeah.
Have to. Do you cheer for the Bills at least? I mean,
I'm a season ticket holder.
There we go. Oh, there we go. Georgiana redeemed himself.
Right. You redeemed yourself. So who do you cheer for when they play the Patriots?
Well, you know the answer to that question.
Yeah, I think he's leaning towards the Patriots in those weeks. Before we go any further, because I do want to come back, and we're going to talk about the opioid intervention court. It's the first one in the country. And it's right here in Buffalo. And Judge Hannah, you are in charge of that, which is awesome. But we have to take our first break. So don't go anywhere, Western New York. We will be back in just a couple minutes.
This is Frank Lotempio III, Lotempio PC Law Group, your complete counsel team meeting your lifetime legal needs. Call us at 855-3761.
Hi, I'm Lauren Lewis with Staff Buffalo. Staff Buffalo is a certified woman-owned business enterprise. Staff Buffalo is a full-service professional staffing firm providing executive, direct hire, and contract solutions for employers in Buffalo, New York, and the surrounding areas. We specialize in providing our clients with the best candidates for each job, as well as personalized career management solutions to each candidate looking for new opportunities. We love to make people happy. Please check us out at staffbuffalo.com. Staff Buffalo, where Buffalo works.
Are you looking for a magazine that can provide engaging and educational articles, purposeful and impactful advertising, and complete dedication to the Western New York community? Then you want Buffalo Healthy Living Magazine. With over 150,000 print readers and over 35,000 digital readers, Buffalo Healthy Living is Western New York's largest free healthy living magazine for people of all ages, focusing on health, fitness, nutrition, environment, business, and community. Buffalo Healthy Living is dedicated to providing well-written and timely articles specific to Buffalo's lifestyle. Embracing the highest standards of corporate purpose, accountability, and transparency, Buffalo Healthy Living offers a positive social and environmental impact. Proud to be Western New York's premier free health magazine for people of all ages, Buffalo Healthy Living writes about the topics that matter most to its readers. Find it at every area Wegmans and Tops, along with thousands of other locations throughout all 8 counties of Western New York. Interested in advertising? Contact 716-204-8881. Find them online at buffalohealthyliving.com or follow them on Facebook and Twitter. Enjoy a healthier life with Buffalo Healthy Living Magazine.
Are you interested in both growing and protecting your business? Accessium Group is the solution for you. Your most trusted IT service provider in Western New York, partnering with business and organizations of all sizes. They assist their clients by offering strategic consulting, IT planning, hosting, custom design servers, and network infrastructure solutions. At Accessium Group, they go the extra mile to handle even your most basic IT and business needs, such as setting up your internal Wi-Fi system, and they provide 24/7 and help desk support and manage services. Stop worrying about the complexities of your IT problems and focus on the solution by contacting your most trusted IT service provider in Western New York. That's Accessium Group. Call 568-7990 to schedule an appointment or visit them at accessiumgroup.com.
Welcome back to Western New York at Work on ESPN 1520. I'm Lauren Lewis. We are on our second Sunday of the month with Legal Matters. We have Frank LoTempio from LoTempio PC in studio, and we have Judge Craig Hanna in studio. And Judge Hanna is like an awesome judge. And we've just met this morning, but when I was doing some research about the Buffalo Opioid Intervention Court, it seems like you're doing amazing things, and this is the first of its kind in its country, in the country. Yes. So
tell us how the process works.
Yeah.
The process works, the minute you're arrested anywhere in the city of Buffalo, you get the verdict to our court if you answer any three screening questions.
Which are?
If you use opiates, any opioids, like painkillers, if you've OD'd or Narcan, or you're under the doctor's care for some type of pain management. So it's shifted to our courtroom, and then we do a further thorough.
So do the police do that screening?
No. Let's say whenever you're, and I'm glad we don't know this, whenever you're arrested and you go into a detention facility, they have to ask you medical screening questions because they're in charge of your care.
Yeah. Right.
And we added about 4 or 5 extra questions to that. And if they answer in an affirmative with any one of those 4 or 5 questions, it gets re-diverted to our part where they can speak to some of our treatment specialists.
Oh, that's great.
So what kind of treatment specialists do you have?
In the courtroom, we make sure we can get people attached to medically assisted treatment within hours as opposed to weeks and days. Mm-hmm. If they need to go to inpatient, we can have them in an inpatient bed within days. But a lot of our clients go to outpatient, too. We get them linked back to services. And a lot of it is ancillary services, as we alluded to before, because we try to treat the whole person. We try to link them in insurance. We try to link them with transportation. And if they're doing any educational components and treatment, we do that as well, because we want to make sure that they're better suited when they leave out of there. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times, people can't make it to treatment just because they don't have the funds or the means to get there.
That's right.
So we try to make sure they have the means to get there, so we take all the excuses away from them.
Right.
And my job is for them to give treatment a try.
Well, that's part of the problem I have with some of my clients. Here they are. They come in, they retain us, which is not cheap, of course. And then someone says, you got to go to treatment. They say, Frank, I can't go. This is $50 a week for me. Mm-hmm. $50 a week for somebody
adds up,
and it's a big deal. And they said, I can't afford that. What do I do? So those are always problems that we face as defense attorneys, because then we'll go in and why didn't they treat? Well, they don't have Medicaid set up yet. They don't have Medicare set, whatever it is, and it's. It's interesting, but you guys are helping people get through that.
We try to take care of all that their first time you're there. We call it like the first contact.
Right.
Their first contact there is when you can make the most measurable change. Because once they go home and think about it and get back with their family or the people that they use with, they're going to not take this.
Absolutely.
So first contact.
It has to be their choice, too. They have to be in the right mindset to know that they want to get better.
And that's a great point. Everything is totally voluntary. Because as you know, they're innocent. Yeah. Right now, all they got is arraigned on their charges, so I can't really mandate them to anything. But our job, too, is to get them to try the treatment and get them in the habit of taking care of themselves and doing responsible things that you and I do every day.
Yeah. Right. I think it's a proactive approach. It's great. I know some defense lawyers are like, why is this person in the treatment court? We haven't even gotten a guilty verdict yet or you haven't taken a plea or something of that nature. I always find it to be terrific. I don't mind it at all because a lot of these things, a lot of crimes are committed based on somebody's addiction. Mm-hmm. It's as simple mm-hmm. as that. Or even look at a lot of domestic violence issues are alcohol related. People mm-hmm. get drunk. Did they get into a fight? Someone calls the police. You're in domestic violence court, and it's a result of drinking. Go for an evaluation. That's it. You know, and a lot of these people aren't bad people, right? These are people that get drunk, they get into a fight, man or woman, by the way, and something happens, and the next thing you know, you're sitting in a courtroom. First of all, which is it's not so scary for us because we're there every single day. But, you know, we have people that walk into a courtroom for the first time. And I'll tell you, if you're not scared from that, if you're a defendant, then I don't know what is going to scare you, right?
You're right. It's, for us, like you said, it's because it's our vocation and we do it so much, it just becomes perfunctory. Mm-hmm. But for a regular citizen, it may be one of the most traumatic experiences of their life. And I always keep that in the back of my mind, especially when they appear without an attorney. Because let's say if Frank is there, you know, then they have someone to do all the talking for them. And they can just sit there and lean back. But when you first come to court, I would say 99% of the people don't come with an attorney. Mm-hmm. They come back with an attorney the mm-hmm. second time. Right. So I just want to make sure while they're there, not only that their rights are protected, that the experience is not bad.
Yeah. And so I know there's guidelines to being part of the opioid court. What are some of those guidelines that these people have to meet?
We're very strict. We're mm-hmm. very. Once we get a participant, and I call them participants other than defendants because we want to instill hope and pride.
Yeah, right. That's great.
They have to come to court every single day.
That's a huge commitment,
yes,
too.
Because I want to put eyes on them to make sure they're not using mm-hmm. and to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to and going to treatment. They have an 8 p.m. curfew, and we all know when we weren't as stellar citizens that most of our bad activities happen after dark. so we try to keep them busy, keep an eye on them, and to make sure they stay on point and stay committed to their recovery. Mm-hmm. The best part about it is when you see them 30, 60, 90 days from now, and they're not the same person you saw when they first came in. That's the most rewarding part.
I've had some some clients who had addiction issues, and I'll tell you, watching a transformation, if they get help, it's a person who's generally, I've seen them very skinny, mm-hmm. very pale, right? And 60 days later after they're treating, you could see the muscle tone come back in their body, their face, everything. It's amazing, isn't it?
Right. They look like a total different person.
Totally different person. It's absolutely unbelievable.
So if someone wants more information on Buffalo's opioid court, how can they contact you?
845-2633.
Awesome.
I want to give a shout out. Can I give a shout
absolutely.
Out to somebody? Ernest Donaldson is a very good friend of mine. And first of all, he's a mental health counselor. I told him he should hook up with you sometime. He actually has a office in our building. And if you read this morning's paper, Sean Kirst did an article on a foster kid who borrowed Carmelo Anthony's name. Did you read that this morning?
I didn't read it. I saw it.
Okay, read it. So yeah. Ernest is his brother. And Ernest, it's a great article. Read it. Ernest is one of the all-time best guys you'll ever meet. And he's a mental health counselor, and that dealt with mental health issues and how this his brother went from foster home to foster home to foster home and finally settled into Ernest's house with Ernest and his mother, Edith. And it's a great story. So if you get an opportunity, read it today.
I definitely saw it posted on Facebook, but I didn't get a chance to read it
yet. Yeah, it's excellent. So. It's a great, 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 great article.
Good. So any final thoughts as we're kind of wrapping up another quick half hour on Western New York at Work?
Well, tell us, what are the Bills going to do for quarterback?
Well, I hope we get a quarterback, but I'm predicting 10-6 this year.
That's what I'm predicting,
I like
too. I don't want to trade. I can tell you this. I do not want to trade the first two picks. I don't like trading picks. I think I don't know. There's plenty of guys out there I think that we can get still. Case Keenum, pull him up. And I think who's that kid out of Oklahoma State? Mason Rudolph. you know, you can get that kid maybe in that 21st or 22nd spot, I think. So.
Yeah. Well, we've got off-season coming, you know, we're in it now. Draft will be coming up, and the schedule will be coming out soon, and next year we'll see what the Bills do. But thank you so much this morning.
Yeah,
thanks,
great.
Frank. Thank you so much, Judge Hannah.
Thank you for having me.
It's a great show. We appreciate it.
And I think Dale Martin did not adhere to daylight savings time.
I know. Everyone please turn their clocks forward. Have a great week, Western New York. Thank you so much for listening to Western New York at Work. I'm Lauren Lewis, and have an awesome week.
Welcome back to Western New York at Work. Thank you for tuning in to today's version of Legal Matters. And again, if you have a legal matter, give Frank Latempio a call. Their telephone number is 716-855-3761. Again, that's Legal Matters. If you have a legal problem or a legal question, give Frank Latempio Law Group a call, 716-855-3761. Buffalo, have a beautiful day. Enjoy your Sunday. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Western New York at Work, sponsored in part by Lotempio PC Law Group, Complete Counsel, meeting your lifetime legal needs, Dale Martin, Liberty Cab, Accessium Group, your most trusted IT service provider, and other successful business partners.